بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. وما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you about two incidents from my childhood growing up. One was, I went one day to Mazum Jai Market in Hyderabad, and those of you who know, it's that beautiful stone building with which was constructed in the early 1900s. It's a quadrangle with shops all around the quadrangle and an open, huge big open courtyard open to the sky. The intention of the builders, of course, was to give everyone access to fresh air and sunlight, and also for the ease of the buyers, the customers, who could just walk in there and see what every shop had to offer. Now, I went there to buy chickens. We used to buy, and we still buy, live chickens, and then we either slaughter them ourselves and clean them, or that's a service that the chicken seller provides you, where he slaughters and cleans the chicken after you bought it, the live chicken. So I went to this market. As I entered the market, something hit me, the force of a sledgehammer in my face, and that something was a smell. There was the most atrocious smell of decomposing meat. Now, those of you who haven't smelt it, imagine a dead animal which has been dead for many days. I still today, I can feel the nausea that came up, the bile rose in my throat. I almost threw up. And then I looked to see what the smell was from, and all I could see was this black mass in the middle of that courtyard, like a mound, a black mound. And this mound was moving like a jelly. You know, this constant movement back and forth, like a jelly. And before I could sort of wonder what it was, a stray dog, of course there were plenty of those around, a stray dog went straight for this black mound, and the whole thing rose up as a black cloud, and I realized it was flies. And what this stray dog went in there to get was chicken entrails. Chicken guts. What these chicken sellers were doing was that this service that they provided to their customers of cleaning the chicken, they would simply take those guts and throw them into the courtyard, into the open courtyard. Now, this presumably this wasn't there from the beginning of time, but they presumably cleaned it once in a week or something. So you had chicken guts rotting in the open for a whole week. And you can imagine what kind of a absolutely horrendous stink that raised. Now, that is not what's surprising. What was surprising was that it looked to me that I was the only person who was smelling that. The chicken sellers, there were some people sitting there. Believe it or not, some of them were having tea. So these people were sitting there happily breathing in this absolutely foul stench and having their tea. It made no difference to them whatsoever. They didn't smell it, or they appeared not to have smelled it. This was pre-COVID days, obviously. This was in when I was growing up, meaning late 60s, early 70s. Otherwise, I would have thought that they all had COVID, because they had lost their sense of smell. Second incident was, my father was a surgeon, and one day, I mean, he used to sometimes invite me to come and look at. He wanted me to become a doctor or a surgeon, so he wanted me to get used to the theater and so on. So once he told me, come and see this operation I'm doing. I can't recall now what the operation was, but what I do recall is that when I went in there and when my father made the incision and blood came out, I almost fell down unconscious. I suddenly felt extremely dizzy, and I had to hold on to the wall to keep myself upright. And I think what kept me upright was more sense of shame than anything else. I didn't want to make a scene. I didn't want to look like a fool, collapse on the floor. But through that haze and dizziness and nausea, I saw this theater nurse who was from Kerala. And this, she wasn't a little girl, obviously, but she was, a young woman who must have been all of 5 feet tall, if that. And she was handing my father the surgical implements without batting an eyelid. Absolutely cool, calm and collected, absolutely no problem. And she was handing him whatever he wanted to be given to him. And it was like telepathy almost, and she knew what she was doing. He almost never had to ask her for a specific thing. He just put out his hand and she slapped it into his hand. And that's part of the way in which it is given, that it registers. You don't sort of, demurely hold it there like a rose. You slap it into the hand of the surgeon so he knows he has it in his hand. Now, what is common about these two things? What is common about these two things is one very simple matter, and that is desensitization. No matter how difficult a situation might be, no matter how painful, how nauseous, how tough, if you watch it, if you experience it, if you smell it, if you listen to it, if you hear it enough times, it loses its initial punch. As they say, when the first slice is taken off the loaf, you know that instantly, because the loaf no longer has the two ends. But once you have sliced the end off, after that you can take off as many slices as you want. Nobody can count how many slices have been taken, because the end of a sliced loaf of bread looks the same. There's no change in it. Desensitization is what happens when you watch something over and over again. Now, I gave you two examples of unpleasant, becoming desensitized to unpleasant things. But the same is true even of pleasant things. The nicest, the most beautiful things, you eat them all the time, you listen to them all the time, you smell them all the time, they become mundane. Yeah, okay, been there, done that. To the extent that in one hadith, Rasulullah said, do not go to the Kaaba so often that you lose the sense of awe and the sense of majesty that you feel when you go there the first time. I remember very clearly, and I think I will, inshallah, carry this memory to my grave. In 1979, when I did my first Hajj, I was told, don't look up, just look down and walk up until you come into the Mataf, and you look up and you see the Kaaba and you make dua, and there's whatever you ask, inshallah, Allah will give you. And that's what I did. As I looked up and I saw the Kaaba, I said, Subhanallah al-Azim, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. We do not worship the Kaaba. As far as we are concerned, the Kaaba is a building, but we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabbul Kaaba. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. That ayat became so real. هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, this is the bait, this is the house. This is the house. And Allah said, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Worship the God of this house, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. That awe and majesty. Now, if you go there every day, and alhamdulillah, inshallah, nothing wrong with that. If Allah has given you that opportunity, you live in Makkah, you pray every salah, by all means, please do that. But also remember not to lose that beautiful sense of awe and majesty just because you go there many times. Now, the reason I'm saying this to you, I want you to remember these two examples and three examples. And tomorrow I will tell you why I'm telling you this. But just think about that and reflect in your own lives and say, what are the things that you do all the time, both pleasant and unpleasant? What are the things that you think you have become desensitized to? Right? Think about that. What are the things that you think that you have become desensitized to? As I said, good and bad both. We become desensitized, for example, to the service that we receive in our homes, from our mothers, from our sisters, from our spouses, from our husbands, from our sons and daughters, from our people who come to serve us, the servants, the drivers, the cooks, and the bearers and the butlers, and whoever you have in your home, whoever serves you, we get desensitized to that service. We take it for granted. Right? We take it for granted until the day when it's not there, then you feel the pinch of it. And that is sad. That is very, very sad. Similarly, what are the unpleasant, what are the essentially negative things in your life that you believe you have become desensitized to? I want you to think about these two things carefully, maybe even make some notes, write them down. And inshallah, tomorrow we'll talk about why that happens and what one must do to avoid that from happening. What are the things that you are and I have become desensitized to, both negative and positive? Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.